Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we just finished KFC Buffet. We're back. We've had a great day so far. We did some shows in our patrons-only group, and we're doing something new today. We're videoing our episodes and showing them live in Facebook. So if you're a member of our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, from now on, when possible, we will be live streaming as we record, and then when we're done recording, that episode will come down. And so you'll have to wait for that video on not that the video is going to be any better, you know, than just the audio. Just seeing us, you know, our glory. We got all this Mountain Dew. We got Star Crunches. We got Zebra Cakes.
We got this Oreo candy bar.
I bought that just for – that was the only one left in the whole store today.
Like, the big story, I guess, that nobody will know is how long that I looked for these. And yeah. Now they're everywhere.
Yeah, and they are great. And I have been on a pretty strict diet and blew it all today for my friend, my compadre.
It was your idea.
Yeah, to get them. I'm the one that bought them.
Are you going to play Conrad Thompson today and read the entire story?
No.
And I can go.
No.
Yep, that's pretty much what happened.
No. No. I just needed some jumping off points.
Hey, that's okay with me if you do.
So what we're going to be talking about today in this Double Dropkick Show 2.0 is we are talking about ECW Barely Legal. We just had the...
You didn't rewind this all the way.
No, I didn't. Be kind, rewind.
First of all, it took you 20 years.
Has it been 20 years?
It has, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was longer than that.
Well, it was the 20th anniversary of this pay-per-view, and I probably let you borrow the tape, a few months after?
Right.
Just now. On camera from you guys getting this tape back. It's not rewound.
Well, it's not. And plus,
20 years late, and you weren't even kind enough to rewind.
But this is the payoff. You gave me a tape that only had ECW Barely Legal, and now it's got the fine film with Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins.
Which is a great movie, man. I love that movie. A lot of people won't know about this tape. What you know is that there should actually be a slash here. Like, it's ECW, and then after ECW goes off, Barely Legal comes off.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about... So, I want to tell the whole story because...
And this looks like a Jerry's Video case.
It does. So, when Mark... And I don't even remember how we saw each other. Because we were talking about 1997.
Was it when you were going to manage me?
It might have been. It might have been. You met with me, and we were talking about there was going to be a show at Pendleton High School. But I remember, have you heard of ECW? And I was out of wrestling. And you brought me this tape, and you said, you got to watch this. And I said, what's this? This is real.
Did I say it like that? I don't think I was dumb enough. I think what I mean when I said it's real was, as I was watching it the other day, is that
right.
They were making contact.
Yeah.
That was not something that we were kind of used to seeing with
right.
guys who were actually like, even in the Taz Sabu match where he does the crossface and he breaks Sabu's nose. I mean, it was a legitimate crossface. And I think that's what I was probably alluding to.
Did you watch it live record it?
Yeah, I watched the pay-per-view live and I watched the build-up to it on videotape that I used to get from RF Video.
Okay. When you first saw Barely Legal, for your first watching it, you're 22 years old, 21, 22 years old.
Yeah, my God.
It was 20 years ago.
Damn.
What were your thoughts watching that?
I think ECW was probably for me what something like Ring of Honor or PWG is for... I don't want to use the term smart marks, but
right.
for especially being in the business at the time and training to be a wrestler at the
right,
time.
Right.
Whereas a lot of the guys today will say, God, I want to work like whoever, the Young Bucks or Kyle O'Reilly, or I don't know who they, Adam Cole, where they like those kind of guys. Like, for a lot of the guys that were starting when I was starting, it was like, I want to emulate these guys. Like, I want to be this.
Right.
Whereas, because, like, what they do in Ring of Honor today is so athletic, and it's so almost has, with an MMA type of feel to it. That, like, the ECW was around when MMA was first getting notoriety as well.
And it was much different.
Right, and it was so much different than it is now. But it was, but when you were watching MMA back then, you felt like you were watching an underground pit fighting Fight Club.
Yes,
that's what it felt like. Yeah, that's what it was marketed and sold as.
Right,
back then.
Right.
And watching ECW felt the same way. I mean, it was something complete. They built their whole foundation on being different than what you saw on Monday nights.
Right.
That was what they did. I mean, it was. Experience the alternative, and these guys, it was building on that smart mark culture of yes, there's a script,
right,
which is stupid.
I
would never like the term script, but that's
right.
There's a script for wrestling, but if you watch ECW, you'll see guys who were given the script and who threw it away and did what they wanted to do.
Right.
Like, that was the gimmick of ECW at the time. It was not that it was a shoot, but that it was a shoot. You know what I mean? It was, yes, this is sports entertainment, but we really don't like each other. And they've told us what to do.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go out there and do what we want to do. We're not going to do what they told us to do. Like, I'm going to take Sabu and throw him through the table on the top of his head and try to break his neck.
Yeah.
Is what they would do. They,
yeah.
Yes, there's a script, and we don't follow it.
So I got the complete different. When I first watched it, I thought, and maybe it was me, and I started watching it.
I'm not saying I thought they did that. I knew that they were working. What I'm saying is that was what they were selling as what they did.
And I didn't. I watched it, and I thought, dude, this can't be. This is real. Like, this can't be. It can't be real.
Right.
Am I watching? Like, right,
you
I was
bid for that.
Oh, hook, right, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm.
I think it was on this pay-per-view it wasn't on the pay-per-view, but it had happened before, and they kind of built up to some stuff.
Right.
When Shane Douglas shook Gary Wolf.
Yeah.
By the halo.
Yeah.
They almost had a riot.
Yeah.
Because people believed it was real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was real.
Right. Because he really was shaking.
He really did have a broken neck. He really did wear a halo. And Shane Douglas really did shake him by it.
I just remember hearing the promos. And the first match was Eliminators and Dudley Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
And it just hooked me. But in one way, it hooked me, and in another way, it repelled me.
Right.
I
was hooked, like, when I first started watching it. I was into it, man. I loved Taz. I loved his whole gimmick. I loved the one-man crime spree. Like, when he first turned, and they go through this on the network. Like,
right.
When he first turned and come back from the neck injury. And,
yeah.
And he had it. Like, before that, he had been the Tasmanian.
Yes. Yes.
He had longer hair, and he painted his face up, and he had tassels, and then he comes back with this brand new attitude, and now he's a shooter.
Yeah.
And he was the one man crime spree.
Yeah.
And he would just show up and choke people out. It was I loved it, man. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
If you have not watched on the network The Collection, it does a great job. It starts out Taz versus Sabu. It does the build.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the main matches we're going to talk about. So let's talk about this. There's a difference between wrestling 20 years ago and wrestling today. ECW, to my knowledge, had an hour a week of programming.
And they paid for that.
Right. So if you go back in this collection, there's six, maybe seven segments that they're building to this match.
Uh-huh.
And they go through the whole story, and Taz and Sabu never touch each other.
No, for over a year.
Yes.
You know, Taz would call him out, and he wouldn't, and Sabu wouldn't answer the challenge.
They did not touch each other. They weren't in six-man tag team matches against each other.
No.
A lot of times they weren't even in the ring together. It was just one of them talking.
Right. You have to go back to what the genesis of the whole feud is.
Yes, so talk about that.
Is that they were supposed to have a match, and Sabu got a chance to go work in Japan for more money, and because his uncle was a sheik,
right.
And his uncle was a very shrewd businessman,
right.
And Sabu decides he'd rather go to Japan, and he no-shows ECW, and they fire him, and that was all real.
Right.
They were like that reality-based wrestling, right. Shoot, taking a work shoot kind of stuff. They were the masters of that.
Yes.
And they built their whole empire on work shoots.
Yeah.
And I mean, it crumbled for them because you can only do that for
right,
so long.
Right, yeah, it burns out.
Right, people get burned out on that. So, yeah, he left, and then they bring him back, and Taz starts calling him out, saying that he, for like, Taz, or Sabu fears Taz, and it was great, man.
And then what
and
made
they
it...
They waited until they knew they had a... They were saving the match, I mean, obviously.
And Paul, one of the segments is Paul E. telling the story.
Right.
That, man, they're really mad at each other, but we agreed...
Right.
We agree that they're not going to mess with each other.
Taz immediately went out. They built Taz up to be this guy that, there again, we have a script that we all agreed on, and Taz is not following that script.
Right, right.
And that's how they sold their product.
And
we all agreed we wouldn't address this, and now Taz is going out and calling Sabu out because he knows Sabu's a man of his word.
Right.
And Sabu, he won't answer the call because he made a promise to me that he wouldn't. And Taz is doing something that we've asked him not to do.
So, up to this point, I didn't know anybody on this show. I knew who Shane Douglas was, and I knew who Terry Funk was. Mm-hmm. Other than that, not a lot of people, maybe no one that I really had heard of on this show. But yet, they did a good enough job on the pay-per-view telling the backstory that I had not seen any of their programming, but I knew what was going on.
Right.
And I knew, man, these guys don't like each other. Now they're going to fight. And
somebody, they're probably going to shoot on each other.
Yeah. Like, I listen.
That was the sell of that match. These guys are going to shoot on each other.
So let me ask you this. The match starts. Spoiler alert.
If you hadn't seen a match that's 20 years old, that's on you.
The match starts. And I thought, we talked about this before. You talked about, you know, when Brett and Austin face at Survivor Series before the WrestleMania match. That they wrestle, and it takes them like 10 or so minutes before they're punching each other. And I thought with the build-up, Taz and Sabu would just come out, boom. But they start out chain wrestling. They start out wrestling, and when I was just watching this a couple of weeks ago, I was like, what's going on? And now I'm like, and then Joey Styles, and I don't want to talk about him before we're done, but he kind of, you know, Sabu doesn't want to wrestle Taz. Sabu wants to be unpredictable and da 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 da. It doesn't take them long. They're outside the ring.
It didn't take long.
And this is and I don't know if he did it on purpose. And again, I'm showing my markish ways. But Sabu's down on his hands and knees, and Taz
crossfaces him.
But they're facing away.
Right.
And I would give it there, so there's no good camera. Like, it's like he hits him, and you're watching him like, And then when you finally see his face, he's got blood everywhere.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
If they had had a camera
right
in his face when that happened,
right?
Would it have made it better or worse than? Would it made it seem like a moment that was planned if a camera had been there?
Oh yeah, no, that's great. You're right.
Because to not have that was the beauty of ECW, to not have everything polished.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, that was also a strength of ECW. Everything up until that point, if you watch their shows, most of their matches, as they would happen, you'd see cuts in the film. Because anytime something happened that might have exposed, say somebody's throwing his elbow to somebody's back, and it's, you know, and you miss, or somebody's throwing a clothesline and it misses, or somebody misses with a drop, they would just cut that out.
Right.
You just wouldn't see it happen.
Yeah.
So probably some of that was them shooting a live show for the first time as well.
Right. But I was fascinated by that match. And again, I didn't have any I didn't have a dog in the fight or whatever. And I was most fascinated by Bill Alfonso. He's a referee.
Right, right. I loved the match. It's still one of my favorite matches. I watched it last night because I knew we were doing this. I love the build for it, actually.
Yeah.
They had better matches later.
Right. Right. This is not a it is an all-time classic in one sense, in my opinion, as far as the build. Mm-hmm.
Can I quote you on that? He thinks the Taz Sabu build was well done.
No, all-time classic, Pete Brain.
At least I don't smell like urine.
All right.
Can I ask you a question? Does my voice sound better?
No.
No?
Yeah, it's going to take a little while. I mean, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. But you still got that. You still got that little.
I got a little cough. Got the little cough. Yeah, but it's not as bad. It's not.
No, your voice is a lot better today.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's a lot sexier.
Dang it, boy! You're looking at me like that when you talk.
But Alfonso, just him blowing that whistle.
I hated that.
But it was great.
It is great. But I hated it.
Somebody would do that today, though. Well, and Eric Bradford used to.
It is so aggravating.
Yes.
It's great, man.
I
hate it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I hate it in a good way. I just want somebody to shove that whistle down his throat, and occasionally somebody would, and it would just be awesome.
I wish I got $5 every time Joey Styles in that match says, oh, he's giving him the poor mouth or whatever the phrase is.
Here's
the
thing about Joe. I texted you when this happened.
Yeah.
You could always tell when something was about to happen
major
because Joey Styles would say the most ridiculous telegraph. Like when Taz and Alfonso were out there and they were holding the ring guy hostage who had told him to get out and they were like, here comes Todd Gordon. And he goes, well, I'm sure Todd Gordon will talk to Taz and Bill Alfonso, and they'll agree to go on, and we'll have a peaceful resolution to this. I'm sure that's what's going on. And he would say it with such conviction, like he believes that this guy, who you have dubbed the one-man crime spree, is going to leave the ring because now Todd Gordon's come out.
Oh, that's Todd Gordon,
okay, Todd Gordon talks some sense into him. He's going to leave peacefully.
Yeah, that.
And then at the finish of the match, which I thought was great, too, the angle at the end of the match when they do the double turn.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really well done double turn. And Styles did the same thing. Well, I love this display of sportsmanship between Taz and Sabu. And I'm like, I was like, oh, no. This ain't over. There ain't going to be no display of sportsmanship here.
No, no. And when I saw the double turn, again, I had no vested interest in any of the character, any of the wrestlers. I thought that was great. And I'm like, Bill Alfonso, what are you doing?
Bill Alfonso, what are you doing?
Going back to the build, it's either on the collection, it's either the first video or the second video where Taz or one of them's in the ring and the lights go off.
Yeah, Taz is in the ring calling him out.
And when the lights come back on, Sabu's in there. And they go toward each other and the lights go off again. And then they're gone, and the crowd just...
Yeah, I remember that.
But...
I remember when it... Because I had Prime Star, and I bought the sports pack on Prime Star. And they used to show, like, on the Sunshine Network, ECW would come on at, like, 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I used to watch it.
Oh, wow.
And I remember when that happened, yeah.
That was good. And, like, you couldn't do that. Like, if you did that kind of build today, the fans would poop on it.
They pooped on it then.
Right.
They chanted BS, but they knew they were going to get the match.
Right.
Those people showed up in that building. And that was the thing about those fans.
Yeah.
Whereas today, you tease that, and the people in the arena know I'm not going to get to watch the match live.
Right.
So they crap on it, whereas those guys at the ECW arena know, okay, well, I didn't get it this week, but I'm going to get it next week.
Right, right. And to me, the more, like with ECW, I think back toward their end when they were running shows in like Florida. They went nationwide.
Georgia, they did a pay per view from Georgia, I think.
Right, right. And I think about that. I'm like, man, what if they just stayed in the tri-state area?
Yeah, I don't think it would have been any different.
Well, I agree with that, but yeah. So let's because I did not get to watch all of this. The build to you're going to have a triple threat match: Terry Funk, Stevie Richards, and Sandman,
right,
with the winner getting an immediate title shot with Raven.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you didn't see the Sandman Raven feud,
right,
you missed out on some emotional stuff.
Man. Yes,
where Sandman's real wife and kid were involved,
right?
And his kid turned on him and caned him. Oh, and he started dressing like Raven. It was cutting edge. Some people would say it was probably taking things a little too far.
Right.
They definitely took it too far when they crucified,
yes,
the Sandman.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like when the Undertaker put Steve Austin up on a Undertaker symbol. If you've never seen it, it's what cost them the relationship with Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Where he was in attendance that night. And Sandman, who is a lot of people don't know this about the Sandman, was independently, I don't know the wealthy is probably not the, yeah, right word, but he owned a construction company.
Right.
And he didn't really need the money from wrestling. He was just having fun.
Right.
And so he built a crucifix.
Yeah.
And they put him on the crucifix and then put a crown of barbed wire on his head.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's offensive to some people.
It is offensive to them.
I could see even just discussing it, it's offensive to you.
But it's not like it's offensive to me, probably not for the reasons that you think it is.
Because it's just bad.
Right. It's not offensive to me that you're mocking Jesus. It's like,
what kind of preacher are you?
It does.
Right.
But it's like, what? Why do you need to, like?
Oh, I agree.
That's,
yeah,
like such a. That's cheap.
It is cheap.
It's cheap.
It is cheap. And
I was offended at how, like, if, oh goodness, this is going to get me in trouble. Okay, if you're going to do that,
uh-huh,
to mock that,
have balls enough to drive a nail through your hand.
That, or don't make it look like. It cost you a quarter. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. There you go. It was cheap.
It was cheap. It was
cheap all the way around. And it doesn't offend me at all, my sensibilities religiously or anything. I mean, but I just thought it was. I didn't like it when Austin Undertaker. Because there's certain things you can do to elicit responses out of people.
Right.
But to me, just shooting for that, that's low-hanging fruit.
Right.
It's easy, yeah, you know what I mean?
But the thing with me...
That's Ric Flair calling a bartender a fat ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's low-hanging fruit.
The whole thing with the barbed wire and that match, the triple threat, is I think the first time I'd seen barbed wire. And that just...
That's the first time you'd ever see grew up on a...
See, I'd seen barbed wire in a wrestling match. And to me, I was like, okay, I don't know, man. That just, I've never been, I don't know.
Say it. You're not a fan of garbage wrestling.
I don't perceive that
to be garbage wrestling.
I don't want to say the term garbage wrestling. I'm saying to me.
I didn't say it.
To me, barbed wire is a very real life thing. Okay? It's a real life thing. So when you put it into wrestling, all right? You've either got to do it for real, which is stupid.
See Sabu and Funk.
Right. Okay.
Watch that.
You do it for real, which is stupid. Or you're going to fake it, which cheapens it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're going to like ground down the tip, whatever you're doing. Okay.
Wouldn't you hate to have that job as the guy that grounds down the tips on all the barbed wire?
I don't know. Like, and that's what I'm saying.
I think they use rubber barbed wire sometimes.
So I'm watching it, and I don't. I just know.
ECW is real barbed wire.
Right, because they're stupid. Like, that's just my take on it.
You're calling Terry Funk stupid.
Listen. Terry Funk was brilliant because Terry Funk, in every way and in every era, he was a futurist. Okay?
Yes. He was smart enough to see what the business was doing, where it was going, and he changed accordingly.
He was smart enough to say, this may be where this is going. I'm going to pile drive Ric Flair on the table.
Yeah.
You know what? This may be it's going be where it's going. I'm going to do the barbed wire thing. I'm going to cut a moonsault.
Yeah. Can I say they did this great spot? And we'll get to talking about the match, but while I'm thinking about it, because you said the moonsault off the ladder, can I just say, if you are ever considering having a triple threat match, please watch two matches. Watch this match.
Yeah.
And watch Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Chris Benoit from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Watch both of those matches.
Yeah.
And you'll see a lot, and you'll learn something about how to actually have a triple threat match.
Right.
Because I can't stand to watch two guys fight while one guy lays on the ground and sits there and pokes his head up and looks over the corner of the ring.
Right.
Selling an injury that would have been a one kick. It would have kicked out on one.
Right.
In a normal match.
Yeah.
But he's out of the ring for 10 minutes watching two guys work with his head up over the corner. I hate that. So watch those two matches and you'll see how three guys can actually work together in the ring to set. So there's a great moment. Now people do ladder matches and stuff and they have to have the referee brace the ladder for them. But these guys did a spot where Sandman's climbing up one side and they set it up in the corner. Terry Funk's climbing up the other side. Funk hits the Sandman, who plops back onto his butt on the turnbuckle, and he hits him again, and he falls forward onto the ladder so he can brace the ladder so Terry Funk can do the moonsault off of it, and they don't have to have a referee stand there and take everybody out of the illusion. It's little things that I notice in wrestling matches that other people don't notice, which makes me smarter than them.
That's brilliant. And now Mark's going to take a drink of water while I can spew some nonsense. you posted in the group, or you posted in our patrons group, you wanted to make the case that Terry Funk was the greatest worker of all time.
In ring, yes.
Would love to hear your thoughts.
I do. I just, okay, here, and it's not necessarily, okay, do I think he's better than a lot of guys? Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, the only other guy, there's Ricky Steamboat. A lot of people say Ricky Steamboat never worked heel.
Right.
So I have to eliminate. And Ricky Steamboat was too smooth and it looked fake.
Yes. Okay? I agree.
What Ricky Steamboat did, it was great, but it looked too fake sometimes.
Yes.
Because it was too smooth. Shawn Michaels has a history of not wanting to do what the best thing for the company was.
Right.
Okay. So even though he may have athletically been better than Terry Funk, and he did things that Terry Funk on his best day couldn't do. I'm going to deduct points.
Right.
This is a point system here. I have to deduct points for his backstage attitude, and his substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm taking points away from that. Flair, as great as Flair was at traveling around and making everybody else look great.
Right.
He had the same match every night.
He had a formula, yeah.
He had the same, and that same match was fine when he was working in Tennessee tonight, in Minnesota tomorrow night, and then back to Charlotte, and then down to Florida, and then out to Texas, and then over to California, and then out to Hawaii, and then to Japan, and then back to the Carolinas.
And not on TV.
And not on TV, and against different opponents in different arenas. Yes. It was fine to have the same match. With the advent of cable television and being on TV every week, you quickly learned that he had the same match every night.
Yeah. And it's a fine match.
Great match.
Yeah.
Incredible match. Great, greatest traveling world champion of all time.
You'd put him over Harley now.
I would put him over Harley. Yes.
Okay.
I would. And I love Harley Race, but I think Flair is the last of the great NWA champions.
Yeah.
But in ring,
until Billy Corgan gets his hands
right, until Billy Corgan gets the title. But if you look at Terry Funk, he was able to do the 70s like over exaggerated wrestling style, and then use that and incorporate Harley was good at it too, where they knew that they weren't on TV. And they would have over-exaggerated body movements so that the guy sitting 50 rows back in the dark could understand that the punch had knocked him loopy.
Yeah.
Terry Funk was able to tone that down for television.
Yes.
He was able to still do that animated style where he would stagger around.
Yeah.
But he bowled it down.
Yeah.
So it wasn't over.
Right.
It was an over exaggeration. When Terry Funk took a bump, Rip Rogers.
Yeah, Rip Rogers.
Talked about this the other day. And I saw it, and it's brilliant. And then I saw Terry Funk.
He's a great follow on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why this is how I learn about wrestling. I listen to people that know more than me. Hmm. Oddly enough, in all aspects of life.
Right.
Apparently that will serve you well.
Yes, it will.
He talked about you when you first learn to work, you take a flat back bump.
Boom, yeah.
Boom, boom. And it protects you because you don't know what you're doing yet.
Right.
But as you progress and as you learn, you will learn to crumple and not just take a flat back bump all the time. I never thought about it, never noticed it.
Yeah.
And then I watched this match.
Yeah.
And I watched Terry Funk take a bump.
Yeah.
Go watch the match
with
the idea of Terry Funk taking a realistic looking bump.
Yeah.
When somebody would hit him, he wouldn't just flop right onto his back. One of his knees would crumple, and then the other one would crumple, and then he would go down. It's incredible to watch when you know what you're looking for.
Right.
It's little subtle things like that people do that you don't even realize this is what makes me think that he's better than everybody.
Yeah.
It's just the things that he knows. But Terry Funk had he worked with everybody who mattered
in
the history of the business.
Japan and everywhere.
From everywhere. He's been in the ring
with
everybody who matters.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
He's from a different era. He was there to see the rise of Rhodes and Murdoch.
Yeah.
Flair and Race. He was with Jack Briscoe, his brother, his father.
Yeah.
You know, and then all through the 70s and the 80s, and he was able to adapt his stuff. And like you said, he was able to look into the future and say, like this, that's where it's going. And it can either pass me by or I can go with it and I can go make some money.
Yeah.
And I just think if you watch, whether it's he could have a technical match
in the
70s.
Yes.
He had those out of control brawls in ECW as Chainsaw Charlie. He was constantly reinventing himself.
Right.
Constantly reinventing who he was.
Yeah.
And I defy you to find a bad Terry Funk match.
Right.
Even when the match sucked.
Yeah. Terry Funk didn't. Right. Yeah. Dude.
He had a match, on the Slamboree pay-per-view with Tully Blanchard.
Yeah.
It's a good match.
Right.
There's a bunch of stuff on Nitro that he did.
Yeah.
And yeah, the matches weren't great.
Right.
But Terry Funk was.
Right.
And Terry Funk never phoned it in.
No.
There could be 20 people there and he'd still climb up on something and jump off of it and like to land on his head. Bad knees, bad back, with the flu, whatever.
Yeah.
Terry Funk is the greatest in-ring performer of all time by process of elimination. When you remove flares.
Yeah.
Formula, Shawn Michaels backstage issues and unprofessional conduct, Ricky Steamboat's never inability to work heel.
Hmm. Mark makes the case right there. You're not going to get an argument from me. I still remember, you know, when Funk did the turn on Flair, just the way he did it.
It was great.
I believed, man.
Yes.
I believed. That, to me, is when wrestling is great. And we talked about this. We talked about this. There was a moment recently where we were at a show together, and I got hooked. And you saw that I was hooked because I got emotionally invested in this match. And it was amazing because in that moment,
Who booked that?
That was you, brother. I got hooked, man. And there's, like, for me, I still leave a little, you got to leave yourself a little bit of that.
Yeah, man.
But what they do, they don't give you even the promos now. Like,
it's,
you go back, the ECW stuff. Yeah, the ECW, even when they're trying to shoot today, even the pipe bomb. Overrated promo ever?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Without a doubt, most overrated promo of all time.
Yeah.
But there's the promo when Raven's sitting in the floor.
Yeah.
And Terry Funk, and you just see these cowboy boots
over
jogging pants, Walker, which is great.
Yeah.
Because only Terry
you need
Funk.
You need to get that
I do.
Going.
I should get that going. I want to get like a pair of James Drake boots, man, and just start wearing them with jogging pants.
Right.
James Drake got the best boots on the Indies, man.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hands down. But anyway, like Raven's sitting on the floor, and all you see is Funk's feet, and he's hollering down. And he's like, you might not love your daddy, but I love my daddy. And you stand up. Raven's like, I ain't standing. And it's just this father-son relationship, really, that they did with that. And what I'm not like the Funk and Dreamer relationship where it was a loving. It was the old generation and new generation. And Funk's yelling down at him, get up, stand up, and be a man. And Raven's just looking at him like, I'm not going to get up just because I know you want me to get up. So finally, Funk gets down on his level. And he's like, you can say I'm an old winded old man if you want to, but I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they reverse it.
Yeah.
Later on, there's the other promo that they cut when Raven is doing something and Funk walks in and sits down in the corner. And Raven goes over and he's like, get up, Funk. You ain't just going to come in here and interrupt me. And Funk's like, nah, I think I'm good where I'm at. You know, and he won't get up. So Raven kicks him in the face. Did you watch the promo?
I didn't know.
Raven kicks him in the face and Funk's like, that's it. Like, what are you going to do? If that's your big move is kicking me in the face, I just took it.
Right.
And he kicks him again, and he starts laughing. That's it? Like, that's all you got? Kick me again. Kicks him again. And he's just, like, that was Funk's way of getting at him, but saying, you can sit there and be petulant all day long, but I am tougher than you are.
Right,
And that's what's going to matter.
So, I remember, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. If I'm not mistaken, when Funk finally faces Raven, he's a bloody mess.
Oh, yeah, man.
That match is pretty short because they're running short on time.
Uh-huh.
And
was pretty upset about
that. They were going to get cut off.
Right.
But I remember.
And they did. If I'm not mistaken, they did the three count. They give Funk the belt. Even when you watch it on the network, it just abruptly ends.
Yeah.
Like, they got the belt on him. They got the shot. And boom, it went black.
But before, maybe it was before the match when they did the Desperado video.
Oh, God.
That's one of the greatest wrestling videos ever.
That's why I would love to watch that, man.
Yeah.
I think I got a VCR because it's not on the network.
No.
And it completely takes me out of it when Funk comes to the ring to that generic music.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Desperado.
But
you're right. The black and white video where they played Desperado and he's talking.
Brilliant.
And it's not on the network because they won't pay for music rights.
So,
it's so stupid.
Let me ask you this. For ECW, was it obviously the payoff at the end of that pay-per-view? And I didn't know the whole history before that. But a lot of people would see that today and like, man, Terry Funk had to go over. Couldn't put a young guy over.
Right. And completely missed the point that without Terry Funk, there is no barely legal pay-per-view.
Right. No, that's right.
That was what that was. That was thank you, Terry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have been there without Terry Funk put that promotion on the map.
Yeah. And it's a groundbreaking pay-per-view in that it was, to me, the first of its kind in a lot of ways. But in a lot of ways, what they brought to the mainstream killed a lot of the business. I don't know.
In what way?
Well,
as far as I know, when those guys were feuding with each other, they didn't post pictures of themselves on social media hanging out.
No, you're right. You're right.
But they didn't expose their business.
No, I think
they had great matches. I understand they overdid it. I mean,
I mean, if
did they not? What's overdoing it though? Does it not overdo it today for the guys that you like to hit these huge moves and kick out, and then hit another huge move and kick out, and hit another move and kick out?
What? No, that's what I'm saying. That's what we have today, because instead of 10 chair shots to the head, it's three flips and three knees to the head and all that. That's what I'm saying is,
I got you.
Is ECW the ultra violent? You know, what are you going to do? Shoot a guy? Is now they're not hitting a guy in the head 10 times with a chair, but it's
Let me tell you, they suplex a guy on his head.
But then I'm supposed to watch UFC, and if a guy gets hit, if a guy gets kneed in the head good one time, he's out. But on wrestling, it's 10.
Right.
And he kicks out at 2.
Or you punch a guy 15 times. Have you ever punched somebody for real? You ever hit somebody as hard as you could?
No, no.
If you hit somebody hard enough, all it takes is a couple of times, your knuckles will start bleeding.
Yes. Yes.
And their face will start bleeding.
Right.
It's bone on bone contact. Breaks bones, and it busts skin, and it peels your knuckles back. You can see those two knuckles right there sit deeper than those two knuckles. That's because I hit somebody in the head too hard one time, and I had to go to the hospital and get them two fingers looked at. That's why they sunk in like that.
I've often wondered.
No, you haven't.
I did. I've often looked at your hand, and I'm like, something's wrong with his hand. Yeah,
and that's what it is. See how those two set lower down than those two?
Now, do you see this hand right here? You see how smooth that is?
But you don't see it on that hand.
No, this is a normal hand, and this is an abnormal.
That I legitimately went to Oconee Memorial Hospital and had my hand x-rayed because I punched a guy in the head so hard that it sunk them two knuckles in.
Right.
And that's what happened. But now they get in fights, and they don't know that.
Right.
And they bust their knuckle. They don't bust. You know what I mean? There's no noticeable damage when people get in a fight, and that's what I don't like.
So let's go. We mentioned UFC a little earlier. UFC was completely different back then because they weren't just going in there and just – it was just a completely different beast. And to me, UFC looked like – UFC then looked like a real fight. Mm-hmm. If you had guys of different styles, because you had Gracie, he would just lay there and try to hook you in a move. He basically would lay on his back and dare you, come near me.
He wanted you to, yeah.
Yeah, come near me. And you had the big tank guy. He was just
Tank Abbott.
He's just trying to stalk you, and no style or anything. He's just trying to hit you as hard as he can. Whereas today, it's such a sport.
Right.
And everybody's trained in multiple disciplines. This is a completely different animal. And so, I guess my curiosity is, it's the same thing. You know, Hofer mentioned it earlier. Same thing in basketball. Bill Russell wasn't practicing three-pointers. Wilt Chamberlain wasn't practicing three-pointers. Now you got seven-footers that can dribble and they can pat. They do it all.
Yeah.
Because it's just a different
– it's like baseball.
Yeah.
You watch baseball. Used to growing up watching baseball, you'd check the box, the scores at the end of the day, and it would be 5-4.
Right.
You know, 2-3.
Yeah.
6-4.
Right.
Now you look sometimes and it's 19-13.
Right, right.
You know, it's just.
I saw a thing the other day that this season and last season, 10% of all home runs have been hit by leadoff men.
Huh.
That last season, last season, the Baltimore Orioles as a team had 16 stolen bases.
Wow.
16 stolen bases. Where it used to be,
as a team,
wow. They had because this. If you,
yeah, the leadoff man's job is to get on base and steal.
Have you ever read the book Moneyball?
No.
Oh, I got to get. I'd like to. I've got it somewhere. Let me see.
Cool. I'd like to read that.
I've read that book 3 times.
Wow.
Because it talks about, we're getting way off subject, but I think I'll circle back around. But it talks about baseball and how you started seeing the statistics, and they're like, wait a minute. If you steal a base, the odds are you're going to get out this many times, and the guy's not. And so I can't pronounce the guy's name. Schwerer for the Cubs, the big old boy, he bats leadoff for them because he gets on base. Like, he's one of the slowest people in the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
but he gets on base. He gets walks. He gets hits.
Right.
And they've determined that, you know, on-base percentage has become the holy grail.
Yeah.
Of all statistics. So what I'm trying to say is the more we've learned, the game adapts. And that's everything you just said about Terry Funk. Is Terry Funk, as things started evolving and changing, he changed with it. And so now he's relevant in the 60s. He's relevant in the 70s. He's relevant in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. And even today, he's still – not as much as an in-ring performer now, but he's still relevant in the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I told you, man. He's the greatest. By the way, dropped a cinder block on my hand.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I just did that for the critics who say, Mark sure does act like he's tough all the time.
You dropped a cinder block on your hand? Mm-hmm. And you live to talk about it?
Well, unintentionally. I mean, it fell, yeah. Actually, they're not even sunk in. I can fake it. But you believed it, right? It's because I'm a good worker.
You're a good worker. You didn't even have to take a bump.
Right. I convinced you that I hit somebody so hard that I broke, that I sunk the two knuckles in on my hand and I didn't have to take a bump.
Right.
Who's a good worker here? I'm just asking, like, what's it?
You didn't get hurt.
No, I didn't get hurt. I didn't actually have to hit anybody.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, because Mark knows, as by other people, Mulligan's a Mark. Yeah. And I don't mean that in wrestling terms. I'm Mark, period. I buy what you're selling.
Yes, you do. And if you'd listen to me.
Right.
Like, when encountered with these situations, if you would say, hey, Mark, what should, instead of 6 months later going, you know, Mark, I got to tell you, you were right about this.
Hey, you know, what's funny is my son's been watching the show Mountain Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Mark for Mountain Monsters.
Right.
He's like, Dad, listen to this. You won't believe my son. This show is fake.
Right.
This show is scripted. Uh-huh. You telling me that this woman in the woods is coming and the guy has got the presence of mind to stop, look at the camera, and is like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. We got to go up in here and see what's happening with old Pete. And I'm like,
old Pete.
I'm like, son, you, what are you, what are
by
you
the
doing?
Way, old Pete, also the nickname that I've got.
There's been a lot of comments. Sorry, we can't see
he
him.
Says Mark's got some beachfront property in Arizona.
He actually does.
Yep.
But anyway, back to Barely Legal. Another thing.
You know what got me though? It's what? Not that that I got you the first time. It's then I said no. I just dropped a cinder block on my hand.
Yeah,
and you're like, really? Is that what happened? No, that's not what happened either. I just did my hand the right way.
So you have no injury at all?
No. Now the truth is,
no. Nope.
Okay, here's the truth. I actually did pop somebody upside the head one time, and it did hurt my hand.
I don't believe you at all.
But you know,
I got beaned by a baseball.
I did have to get my hand X-rayed one time. Yeah.
Every male in the United States has had to have their hand x-rayed one time.
I'm legitimately. For punching somebody.
Legitimately. Every male. I don't believe you. I don't think you. Mark, you sell yourself as if you've been in all these fights. I don't think you have. I'm starting to doubt now. I'm starting to doubt. I think you have worked yourself into a lather that you know how to fight. And it's just theory. I don't know that you've ever fought anybody.
Okay.
I think that'll be my job, is to sell it like you've never fought anybody. So when that time comes, like, man, he never, Mark, what does he know?
What's he gonna
do? Never fought anybody.
Okay.
All I know is earlier today you said, man, I can't even plop on the floor like Terry Buck.
I didn't say I could fight anybody now. You ain't never heard me go say it. I'm going to go pick no fights with anybody.
No. Those days are long past.
Oh, God.
So can we? Look,
I'm in my prime.
I'd like to finish with this, if you don't mind, friend. So my girls have a friend at school. I'm probably not supposed to talk about this, but I am. And I don't know where I'm going to go with it. I just thought I'd tell you this story. This is the show. One of their friends got in a fight. And, like, my girls were right there at it. I said, well, what were they fighting about? It's like, well, somebody said something. I'm like, what? Hey. Yeah, somebody said something. And Dad, and she pushed her. When she pushed her, she fell into me. And they was rolling around on the floor and pulling hair. And the way they told her, I said, oh, so your friend won the fight. I was like, oh, no, not really. The other girl won the fight. And so that happened, like, 2 days ago. So then yesterday, they're like, oh, man, you know, in the fight, she broke that girl's phone. And her dad came to the school, and they're, like, suing her.
to get her phone fixed. And so I went to dinner with my daughter, Karis, last night. I said, let's talk about this. I said, because she asked me, she's like, Dad, if I got in a fight for a good reason, would you get mad at me? And I said, well, what would be the reason? Because I definitely feel like there are circumstances where you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But here's what I said. I said, honey, I said, I've never, she asked me, she's like, have you ever been in a fight? I'm like, no. I said, because
really?
I've never been in a fight.
Wow.
And most impressive. Of the time, and the times that I have been challenged to a fight, three times, it was about people bigger than me.
Right.
And I was able to smart aleck my way out of it.
Right.
Okay. But I said, honey, all right, let's say you get in a fight. Let's say you hit the girl. Let's say she slips and falls and hits her head and she's in a coma and she's in the hospital. That's on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's you going to jail. And that's nothing you did. It was an accident. You hit her. She slipped.
Mm-hmm. That's all it takes.
Like,
man.
Let's say you
change your life.
Let's say you throw a punch and you knock her tooth out. Who's paying for that? You're paying for that.
Right.
Like you, so
if you ain't got no job, that means right. I'm paying for that.
Right. So it's like, what are you're gonna fight with somebody because they called you a name?
Yeah.
Like what?
That's silly, man. That's silly.
And now, somebody last year, and they didn't know our situation, but they basically said something about Karis's mama. Like, well, my mama can do this. My mama's better than your mama. And Karis said, Dad, I want to fight. I was like, well, number one. She doesn't know
right.
what she's saying. But let me tell you, you better fight for your mama.
Right.
Like if somebody ever does go down that path, mm-hmm. those are fighting words. Mm-hmm. But you gotta decide. You gotta decide. Is it worth fighting? Yeah,
what the consequences.
Yeah, you gotta weigh that. And
it's not 1976 anymore.
No.
You know, used to. You two guys got in a fight and you hit somebody and he fell and hit his head and died. I mean, they're liable to say, well, you know, it was,
yes.
It was mutual.
Yes.
Ain't nothing we can do. Now you're going to jail.
Yeah, you're going to jail for
even,
a lot of times,
even if he hits you and you.
Yeah.
Now, there's that line between when is it okay for me to hit somebody? And that line kind of tends to fall on once they've attacked me, then if I hit them and kill them, that's on them.
Right.
You know,
right.
But if you just jawing with somebody and, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting in a fight with anybody. As long as nobody puts their hands on me, there ain't
right.
no fight.
Like, to me, just jawing, like,
that's
I don't
just,
even see a need in
that. That's all
that
is just jawing.
Yeah.
What you going to do? Are you?
So let me ask you a question. Let's go back to Taz, because I'm fascinated now. So he it's clear he intentionally breaks Sabu's nose.
Mm-hmm.
So, walk me through that. What I'm saying is, hey, bro, I'm gonna break your nose, or we're gonna do this, or hey, we're gonna do.
I could just see some guys saying, "All right, just lay it in and try to get some blood."
Right.
It was probably, you know, if you're gonna hit me and cause damage, then let's make it look good.
Right, and I'm telling you, when Sabu turns around and at the first glance you can't see that he's bleeding, and then you can say, and then you know he's really bleeding.
Yeah, it's got a different look.
Because
he's smeared.
He's not bleeding from a random spot on his forehead.
No, it's like across his face and smeared.
And the whole rest of this match, he's checking his face.
Yeah.
And
I don't know that even you have that conversation. It may just be, sometimes stuff just happens.
Right.
You get in there hitting each other hard, next thing you know, something happens. I mean, or maybe Foley wrote about it in his book, telling Vader to pop him in the nose. I mean, some people are just like that.
Yeah.
Some people have a great – used to work with a guy, and we would say before we went out there, man, let's just hit hard and soft. I mean, hit hard and in safe places. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit me as hard as you want across the back. Hit me as hard as you want in the chest.
Yeah.
It's not, you know – just don't gouge my eye out. Don't break my nose and don't knock any teeth out. Other than that, hit me as hard as you want to in the cheek. We'd slap each other, just, you know, open hand, slapping, and we'd hit each other in the forehead and make the pop, you know.
Yeah.
Just a flat fist across the top. And that
is that when you hurt your hand?
Yes, that is when I hurt my hand. But I hurt my hand. I popped him in the forehead. boom, to get that sound. And I hit him a little bit. I led with them two knuckles instead of the other two instead of hitting flat. That is legitimately what happened.
Nah, there's nothing legitimate. Did you even wrestle?
I did.
Did you?
It's all been a lie.
Because
I'm not.
I've seen no video proof.
I'm going to tell you.
All what, I got is a boot upstairs with some signatures on it.
This beard ain't even real.
Oh, man.
I'm a New York Yankees fan.
Mark preaches every Sunday at the Tabernacle. That's it. Hey,
I'm on welfare. I don't have a job.
He has no creativity.
No.
Doesn't know anything. Hey, so we're back. It's Double Dropkick 2.0, Volume 2 or whatever. It's good to be back. We've had a great day today. I don't even know what time it is. I got to. You might be watching this live on Facebook. You might be watching this on YouTube.
It's almost 2 o'clock.
It really? Okay. So I don't even know how long we've gone, but it's been good. It's been great talking some really good wrestling today. If you want to know kind of what's coming up, we're going to be telling you. First of all, we got to finish our tag team tournament. We finished it. We have not played the semifinal card or the finals. We recorded the semifinals. We did the finals. Somebody forgot to hit the record button. That's all on me. And to be fair, not our finest effort. Something that needed to be re-recorded. That's coming up. We're going to be giving you there was a lot of talk about 6-7 weeks ago about Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Mark and I have done a lot of research. Mark and I knew a lot about this promotion before it even came out. And so coming up, you're going to hear the inside Hollywood real-life story of Southpaw Regional Wrestling. There's a personal connection I have with Lance Catamaran that a lot of people don't know about, his time in Utica, New York, that I want to get into. There's some tie-ins with a young man who just purchased the NWA. There's a lot of things about this. I think a lot of people have...
I heard the farmer's wife smartened him up. Is that a young Billy Corgan?
No.
Smartened up by big Bartholomew's / cousin.
So, there's a lot of things about, a lot of people have kind of played this off. And there's some reasons for that. But Mark and I will be getting into that. And
stupidest thing we ever did.
What are you talking about? It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Like, it's just like a free reign for you and I just to talk.
Yeah. That's
what true. We normally just,
do. And, like, build on and create. Like, yes. I have not really put much thought into it.
Me neither. So, anyway, doubledropkick.com is where you can go. And let me tell you what episode you need to listen to. You need to listen to the first episode, okay? And the question is, what got you into wrestling? That was the very first episode we ever recorded. And we're kind of like that now. We're kind of like that. We're looking at the landscape of wrestling. And I'm looking for, okay, what the thing that, like Barely Legal hooked me. Okay. What is the thing that can happen that could hook me? And I'm not looking for at the typical places. I'm looking for some of this, independent wrestling and some of the different things. And, I still love the wrestling that I love, and I don't watch the wrestling I don't like. Seems like the adult thing to do. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
And if you haven't joined our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, we got more members than they had at the Silver Dome.
There you go. Some of them are watching right now.
Yeah, thank you for watching. If you've left a comment, we'll try to reply to those afterwards. You might be watching this on.
He will.
You might be watching this on YouTube. Again, this is something different. We're trying to do is putting out YouTube content. That's the word I'm trying to think of.
I wonder if anybody said you look like Bully Ray.
No, I think you have. This is what I think. I think you have 16 different Facebook accounts, and they're all different names, and it's always you. It's you every time.
You think I care enough? I just want to understand. You think that I cared enough that I created 16 different Facebook accounts?
Maybe 17.
Came up with all these different profile pictures and backstories, and I'm just running around catfishing you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's you're so committed to the craft of mocking me.
That I am.
That you did that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's get out of here so you can wring your underwear out. You won't smell like whiz no more. Go upstairs. Just wring out that little yellow spot on the front. You don't have to wring the whole thing out. Just kind of bunch them up on the front. Give it a little twist like you squirting lime on a piece of fish. Just, you know, just give it a little right quick. Get that pee. Get the pee out.
Now, see, I do think you've done that.
What?
Had to wring out your piss-stained underwear. So, for the Double Drop Kick Show,
after I left your mama's.
Oh, dear. Listen, my mama will cut you.
She will, boy.
Oh, for the Double Drop Kick.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.